What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have a huge thing that we are launching tomorrow, which is our baseball dashboard. This Nick's Pitcher Dashboard is going to be a part of the PL Pro Dashboard. And what is that? It's literally everything I use to tell you everything about starting pitchers. I'm not kidding. This is my hub that I made for myself. It is super powerful. You can do things like select specific dates to give you better total rows. You can look at velocity trends throughout starts. You get all the good data that you've always wanted for every single game. It is live data. You get the next three starts for that pitcher in there. You get movement plots and strike zone plots. It is gorgeous. You have full play-by-play. Seriously, it is a free addition to the PL Pro yearly subscription. So go get it today. We are going to give it away for 20% off PL Pro yearly. That is with promo code live dashboard. So go sign up today for PL Pro yearly at pitcherlist.com/premium. Eury Pérez yesterday. He is my lead. Eury the hatchet. Because yeah, you should consider him just a weapon. And also he has been magnificent. Eury Pérez has been on such a good run that really honestly, since he came back on the 22nd, or really after that one on the 24th of June, but is when he came back from the IL stint. I can't say words, of course, but really since like the start before he got hurt, he's been on such an amazing run. It's 12 games of 1.66 ERA, 0.88 WHIP, 28% K rate and 8% walk rate in that time. A little weird in this one because he didn't have the high strike rate on his four-seamer, but to see the sweeper and the sink and the slider get a ton of whiffs is a huge deal. 67% strikes on 24 sliders is fantastic. So I don't really see a situation where you're not starting Eury Pérez at this time. And I feel like he is maybe one excellent game away from his coronation day. Casey Mize at Cleveland was a game that I was avoiding because I didn't like Casey Mize's splitter last game. I didn't think, feel like he had it. The velocity has been weird and down. The slider hasn't been there. Well, the slider wasn't really that good, 55% strike rate, but it wasn't supposed to be a slider game because he's going against the Guardians. You're getting a lot of lefties. And the splitter had 68% strikes while inducing 6 outs on 6 balls in play, while the four-seamer at 93-94, which is great. It's not 92 or under. Got outs. The weird part, 0 CSW on his splitter. 0. That's weird. That is strange. 22 thrown. Generally good locations on it. I think we're fine, though, with Mize moving forward. So he gets the Twins and at Tampa Bay next. I had been down on him. Now I am more encouraged. Nick Lodolo also is someone I've been down on, and this really wasn't the best start from him, but the changeup was amazing. It was a 70% strike rate and 20% swing strike rate, with his line being 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts, though. 6 whiffs, 73 pitches. He's going a little bit deeper into this. But the sinker and the four-seamer and curveball were not really good at all. I'm very sorry, Lodolo, but you didn't get a single whiff on 25 sinkers. And the curveball had a 50% strike rate, and it was just, did not have that thing at all. Missing arm side a ton to right-handers. No consistent feel for it. While the four-seamer, 42% strikes. Yes, only 12 thrown. Still, it was the changeup day, and I'm glad he has that. This was against Miami in Cincinnati. He's going to go into Arizona and then into Oracle Park, so very encouraged for that. And it is getting closer and closer to the time of year that I shift to the full-on schedule edition of the list. I'm going to be doing that in 2 weeks, okay? So it's normal list today, normal list next week, and then you are going to get the schedule edition. That is really going to take into account the fact that, like, Lodolo would have those two good matchups. It is not how I do it now. It is more just general talent and skill while... really for like the first 50 or 60 or so. And then around like the 70s and later is more focused on schedule. Then, of course, it becomes much more of schedule being a factor that can make decisions between the guys in like the 40s and 50s, right? You have the Pirates doing a bullpen game on Sunday. So I'm just going to move past that one. You have Ryan Weathers going 7-point winnings, innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts, 8 whiffs. You love to see the line. It's great. 8 whiffs is a little disappointing, only 4 strikeouts. But it's kind of wild that after allowing so many home runs, Starting on the 24th of June, he had, 11 home runs in four games. And since then, only two home runs have been allowed from Ryan Weathers. It is about a .33 homer per nine in those 10 games. That's amazing. Now, he has shifted from sinkers instead of four-seamers to right-handers. And last game was actually kind of funny. One of the two home runs he allowed was off of a sinker. Of course, none here. I hope to see more, though, from the whiff department, not just on the changeup, but really the breaking pitches. The sweeper going 14 usage and only one whiff on there is kind of disappointing. No whiffs on the sinker. Changeup is, again, getting some, but I feel like there's another gear as well for Ryan Weathers. He's locating the changeup more consistently, which is nice. He just doesn't really have that paired with the four-seamer up, which is less whiffability, thus fewer strikeouts. But at least he has a 3.56 ERA and a 1.19 whip and a 25% K rate right now. That's pretty great. And by the way, in that stretch is a 2.70 ERA, but 1.29 whip. This is the age-old exchange, right? You get a lot more home runs, but fewer base runners and more strikeouts. Or you can have a better ERA and a 23% K rate. And if you're in the majors, you want the lower ERA. If you are in fantasy, you kind of want the worst ERA. You have Logan Henderson against the Dodgers. It's not his coronation day. Why? Because he's not really stretched out for a while. This is only the third game that we've seen him above 90 pitches. And it's also three straight now of six innings, which is great. He had one six-inning game on May 3rd, right? Everything else, all the other eight starts he's had have been six innings or fewer. So I just want to temper our expectations there. And speaking of home runs, during this stretch that he's come back from the IL, we've seen from Logan Henderson eight home runs. He's allowed nine earned runs total in those games. So if you're quickly doing the math, okay, seven of those are solo shots, maybe eight, and that's a two-run shot, or only one batter who has reached base has scored. Nah. No, that is not sustainable. It is a sub-6 hit per nine in that time and a sub-4% walk rate, which is why you have this glistening whip. I mean, for the season right now, it's a 2.70 ERA, 0.87 whip, 31% carry for Logan Henderson. I mean, that's amazing. Don't get me wrong here. Like, I love Logan Henderson. We have the clear signs of unsustainability is what I'm trying to get at. And he hasn't pitched as much as others to showcase that it's real. He's going to allow more hits. The walk rate does seem very real. 71% strike rate here in this is great. Only 7% swing strike rate on his four-seamer, just to be fair. He's got to get the thing upstairs more. But this is obviously great against the Dodgers. We're stoked about it. We keep rolling him out there. And yes, Coronation Day next time against Atlanta. Just do that one, as I promised before. Okay, fine. Just one extra sample size sounds good to me. Tarek Skubal, he has pitched three games for the Dodgers, has not gotten a win in any of them. Would you look at that? That fifth inning with Kyle Tucker dropping balls in the outfield. Yeah, I mean that was, of course, in the ninth inning was the one that really mattered. But yeah, Tarek Skubal's dope and makes this field dope. And I'm not going to share any thoughts about Kyle Tucker. Bryce Elder, six innings, one earned run, four hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. I mean, I don't believe it. You know I don't believe it. It's just as simple as that. No pitch had over a 10% swing strike rate, 5% overall in this one. If you want to keep going with Bryce Elder, you do you. I mean, what else do you need from me? He goes at Milwaukee and then against the Dodgers. So, like, are you going to start him against the Dodgers? No. So, if you want to do one more, fine. Dylan Cease, ace is going to ace, 6.1 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 10 Ks. Sweet. Awesome. Great. We move on. I mean, it's the Dylan Cease lifestyle. 47% strike rate on the change and 46 on the curve and 55 on the slider. You know this. We're still happy. Trevor Rogers, yes, thank you so much. 6 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. That last game was, I know, really disorienting. He just did not get whiffs. He did not have the fuel for his changeup that we normally see, like a 30% strike rate. Well, this time, 67%. This is the normal Trevor Rogers, and he's still dope, and it's fantastic. Two plain four-seamers near 7 feet of extension actually increased that one, which is cool, 94-95. We love it. Jacob Lopez also, I mean, look, 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Jacob Lopez. He's doing the thing that he did before, and it's successful. This is now, if you saw it on the in the game against the Nationals on the 19th, if we said, okay, which we did, we're like, hey, that is actually the command and approach that we saw last year. Let's see if it sticks. If you picked him up then and took a spec out on it, Jacob Lopez over the last five starts now, 2.22 ERA, 113 whip, and a 28% K rate. Just throwing that out there, guys. Jacob Lopez is in a very good rhythm. And guess what? He goes into Houston. He takes down right-handers effectively. That is good. He goes into Houston, has to host the Twins, which we're fine with because he hosted the Texas Rangers here. And then he goes into Texas after that. Like, pick up Jacob Lopez. Brian Wu, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks at Houston. I think we are past the whole thing of home road splits now, I hope. Four-seamer was looking great. Sinker was there for called strikes. And then you have some effective breaking balls. Some, I mean, 45% strike rate on the slider. Not exactly what you want, but you had a good sweeper, 6 for 6 strikes there. Half of it, 1 for 2 on the curveball. And really the story, he left with a sore shoulder. Right when you're just settling everything up, right? No fun. This is, of course, the opposite of the Ryan Weathers thing too. 410 ERA, but 108 whip. Just keep that in mind. I really hope that Brian Wu is fine. And he comes back in like a week or two. Maybe skip one start, guys, right? Maybe call up Kate Anderson and replace him. I don't know. Michael Soroka, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. You might be thinking, oh, sweet, this was at Atlanta. Like, he's back. Well, no. He does get a good enough schedule that I would still go for it because it is him hosting the Reds in Arizona. That's cool. And then going into San Francisco Oracle Park. And I think that's fine because I do think Soroka will get back to the rhythm that he had before, but it's not here yet. And take that as you will. Because even though the curveball had a 24% swing strike rate, it was not as consistent as we've seen. 17 thrown, about 60% strikes. While the four-seamer was not the pitch separation that we see up in arm side versus that curveball. And the changeup kind of did what it's supposed to do. Okay, didn't get a single whiff on 13 thrown. But it's not the precision and the, I don't know, the glorious pitch separation that I'm used to from Michael Soroka. A lot of four-seamers over the middle of the plate to lefties. He did have some good cutters to lefties inside. One of them was a stupid hit, and I still hate him for it. But it's not peak Soroka. Getting closer to it, it's fine. I think I'm going to pick him up now. But if you want to wait for confirmation, that is not the confirmation we were looking for. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Who is that? That's Ryan Johnson. Okay, good conversation. I mean, it was against the Royals, and yeah, I don't want to do it. He's gone, what, 5 straight games now starting? He's gone starting actually since like the middle of June, which is crazy to think about, June 18th. And his last 5 have been under 10 whiffs in each of them. Okay, he averages 4 and change per start? He's the first time of going over 5 innings, or at least 5, since July 19th. The previous 4 games, under 5 innings for Ryan Johnson, in case you were maybe considering it. 5 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 7 Ks. Who is that? Well, I'm going to tell you after this break. So 5 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. That belongs to Hunter Dobbins at Wrigley Field. Good line. I will take this all day, even though with the 4 walks, it's still just a 120 whip, right? And then you have the 360 ERA, 7 Ks. You got a win in there. Sweet. Was this the Hunter Dobbins that I've been kind of interested in? No. Yes, he is actually up in the velocity. It is 94 now and 94, 95 as opposed to like the 93 or 92. That's cool. The command, not. I really got excited because I saw four-seamers inside of lefties and then splitters and sliders and curveballs away. And then against right-handers, you got the sinkers inside and then the sweeper and the curve and all the good stuff down and away. This wasn't that. It was a lot of four-seamers over the plate. And a lot of sinkers earning outs and sliders earning outs and everything earning a strikeout at some point. I am not as convinced as I want to be. He is going into Philly next, so he won't have the benefit of Busch Stadium. He didn't have it here either. I don't love it. It's possible. It is absolutely possible. He keeps his velocity. I think that's an important part of this because he has that cut four seamer now, which is really a cutter, but we're going to call it a cut four seamer. And if you want to hear more about cut four seamers, definitely go listen to The Craft with me. You know, last week we just kind of sat around and we're just thinking about the impacts of cut four seamers as out pitches and not with pitches and how that affects guys. And Hunter Dobbins, of course, is a big part of that. I am okay with it with Hunter Dobbins. He should be better, I think. I don't know. If his command is better, this is okay. This is cool. It could fall away and he could get very much hit by the Phillies. Hunter Brown, oh my gosh, you are just disappointing me massively. I cannot express this enough. Hunter Brown is just failing with his four-seamer and sinker. I mean, sometimes the sinker can help him. He got 42% strikes on this. Okay, fine. But his four-seamer, 50% strikes. Once again, he's just hovering around that like 50% mark. Zero whiffs on 24 thrown. At least it was at 96. Vert was a little bit lower. It wasn't the 17. It was the 16, which is not really what we want. While the curveball that I think is a filthy pitch, and if that is just dominating 65% to 70% strikes and massive CSWs, great. And it was the latter, 46% CSW, and it's how he got through this. But my gosh, Hunter Brown is not Hunter Brown without his four-seamer dominating. Last four games, only one game of 10 whiffs, 9 and 6 and 5 in the last two. He has a total of 12 walks in four games. Four. Oh, man. It is. I don't know. It's not fun. I'll tell you that. Okay. I'm going to keep starting Hunter Brown and hoping that he's going to figure out the four-seamer, but I've been waiting a long time at this point, and I don't know if it's actually going to return this year. You know, you might be making a tough cut later on in the season, including with Hunter Brown. Just throwing that out there. Freddy Peralta, I was really excited about this one because he had two ridiculous matchups of the Green Mile, that is Coors and Sacre Verte, so we couldn't really judge him. Now he goes into the Trop, which is the scenario we want for Freddy Peralta, and he barely misses. I mean, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, one hit, three walks, and two Ks, right? This is a game where he had a careful Icarus in the really in the fifth inning, and yes, it was not a good inning. He walked too many batters in this one. He led off with a walk. He got an out, another walk, got a quick line out, and got the hook. He got the hook with obviously men on scoring position, right? With two walks. But at 76 pitches, after fully completing the lineup twice, he was not allowed to pitch against Jackson Holliday, who led off the game, right? That would be the turnover to third time through the lineup. And we saw a four-seamer that was much better in this one. This was actually upstairs. Yes, it had the added vert as expected. It got whiffs. But the changeup that we were getting excited about because the Rays were like, hey, throw that changeup more, 36% strikes. He did not have any support with his secondaries. He threw few curveballs, sweepers, sliders. They combined for just 13 thrown between them. And that's your ballgame. I really wish the Rays let him get out of that jam in the fifth at 76 pitches. He still wasn't allowing hits, only one hit on the game. I understand he walked two batters, but let him do it. I don't know. Like, it's okay. Jackson Holliday isn't the scariest thing in the world. It's frustrating. And now he goes at Baltimore, so he doesn't get the benefit of the Trop. Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on from Freddy Peralta. Cody Bradford kind of did what he does, and it was four innings, 200 runs, eight hits, one walk, and four Ks. The only lefty he faced, the only lefty slider he threw was against Lawrence Butler. And what did he do? He took him yard. He was the only batter that he faced from the left side, and he took him yard and also later hit a single. That's really, really unfortunate. That was a two-run shot in that second inning, and that's all the damage. Otherwise, he actually did what we wanted him to do, Cody Bradford. He went four-seamers up and changeups down, two right-handers. That is good. We're cool there. So if he faces a lot of right-handers, that should be fine. This was also in Sacre Verte, which made it a little bit worse for him. Now he gets the Angels. That's a lot of right-handers. They do not do well against those changeups from southpaws. I'm in for that one. I think Cody Bradford against the The Angels is great. This one was not a good matchup against the Athletics in Sacramento. So fine. But we're just happy to see that he's doing what he does. With Cody Bradford, Christian Scott, 6.1 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. 16 whiffs here. I love the Cannibal McSanchez approach against lefties. That is four-seamers and cutters upstairs intertwined. I think that's really cool. He did allow more hits than I want, which is unfortunate against lefties. I think he got a little unlucky. Now, against right-handers, it's kind of interesting. He did throw sweepers, and they did get somewhat away, but it's not quite as well-commanded as I want it to be. Now, the one thing that I found most interesting is really the fact that I've been calling for Christian Scott to find something to be the low offering. Everything he pitches is pretty much middle or up vertically, right? And he needs to have something else to attack the bottom of the zone effectively, change the eye level, and really be deceptive where they can't just start at the top middle of the zone and then fade to middle away. He might have it. It's been labeled as a sinker, but it was at 90.7 miles per hour. I think actually there's another pitch that was an actual sinker at 96. And both of those pitches are separate from the four-seamer. If you go down and away, that's the 96 four-seamer that lines up with his arm angle. I think that's a sinker. And then if you go further and closer to the x-axis, you have that 90, 91, or 90.7 mile per hour sinker, which is almost 5 miles per hour or 4 miles per hour slower than the four-seamer. It was filthy. It was a whiff because it was down to a right-hander. I loved it. And that was it. That was the only time we saw it. I don't know why. I wish he threw more of it. I think he should. And that gets me incredibly excited. I feel like that is the final piece of the puzzle for Christian Scott. He doesn't really need to have the greatest sweeper. It is good enough to deal with right-handers with a good consistent four-seamer upstairs at 95 with 1.4 height adjusted VAA. Like, I think that's good enough. He needs a changeup to really take down lefties and righties and be that big surprise pitch that can put guys away and not create as many walks, because he's not going to be converting that high 63% two strike rate into a higher put away rate of 48.6%, right? That is one of the elements that gets kind of lost in like walk rates and strikeout rates. Is do guys have that put away pitch? If they don't, you are going to have a higher walk rate because batters are going to extend at bats through foul balls more often. And if you have that put away rate, that means it's your walk rate's going to be lower. So Christian Scott, please, whatever that was, I think it's your changeup. Do that again. Also, Tanner Bibee, yes, is a very, very poor quality start. 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks for 10 base runners, and 3 Ks. This is a Wonka if you are in a non-quality start league. That is, you get nothing. 3 strikeouts is it, because it's a 4.5 ERA, a, what, 1.67 whip? Something bad like that. Yeah, you got the loss too. I don't dig it. I just don't want to touch it. It's that simple. He's just not making enough changes on things, and he maybe does something once and then it disappears. Drew Anderson did not have a good game. 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks, 74 pitches. They're giving him this opportunity in the rotation. I don't know how long it lasts for. Maybe it keeps going. We'll see. There is some potential here where the four-seamer changeup curveball slider has had some success. I don't think the slider locations are great against right-handers. I don't think the changeup feel was really that great. He gets movement on it, but it wasn't well located. And the four-seamer, despite being a bad movement pitch, bad shape to it, at 96, somewhat flat, staying upstairs, it did have some success. But it's not enough. And with the arsenal he has, he needs to do more for me to get excited about Drew Anderson. So he's going to go at Kansas City next. Maybe that's good enough for you. At 74 pitches, he could go up to 80, 85 now and go more than 5 innings. I don't want to touch the safer AL-only leagues for Drew Anderson there. Jake Irvin, he's throwing harder. It's staying up. That's cool. He went heavy changeup against lefties, which is kind of interesting. 32% usage all of a sudden against lefties. It wasn't even close to that prior. We're talking like a massive boost of 24% usage. Oh my gosh, the lefties from like 6%, 8% to 32. So, okay, that's cool, Jake Irvin. Awesome. It didn't help. You got one whiff or whatever on maybe two against that changeup. Not great, two whiffs on it. And the big thing with Jake Irvin is you need to have this like 35 to 40% CSW curveball going 30% of the time, and that's just not what's happening. He's going more to a sweeper, and I don't think it's that great. I mean, I don't know. You combine the two of them for 31% usage, right? And neither pitch returned to 30% CSW. Jake Irvin, that is the thing that we need you to have. Meanwhile, the cutter they got kind of interested in, three thrown, still at 91, but just three. Never mind. Dean Kramer, oh man, careful Licorice here. He went five innings of shutout ball against the Twins. Sorry, rather against the Phillies, as he's now on the Twins. And it was good enough splitters and cutters. Maybe some splitters were maybe over the plate, but the one that burned him was a three-run shot by Alec Bohm that was up and into a right-hander. Yeah, he did not deserve this. I cannot express enough how Alec Bohm just got burned and did not deserve it. I'm just going to tell you right now, he pitched better than the line will tell you, and I am okay with it. Like, I see him going at San Diego next. I think this is actually still a good 15-team play, if not even for a 12-team stream. Sean Burke, very disappointing. 4.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks, 4 whiffs. And keep in mind, we had this amazing stretch of just 11 strikeouts, 9, 5, 10, 10, and then 4 with 9 whiffs. And then, okay, fine, we're okay. 8 strikeouts, 20 whiffs. And now we're back to it. 2 strikeouts, 4 whiffs here. Both of those bad games were 4.1 innings. What is going on? He didn't get to 2 strikes. It was 38% 2 strike rate, which is bonkers because like every other game was 70%, 60%. And when he did get to it, it was a 25% put away rate. So there's the reason for the 2 strikeouts. But why is it such a low 2 strike rate? Was it few strikes? Nope. 64% strike rate. All right. Was it a super high foul ball rate? No. 17% foul ball rate. Why? They were aggressive. They just put the ball in play quicker against John Burke, and they got hits. I mean, Koufax wasn't the kindest. And then you had Burke just lose some batters. I mean, sometimes that is just how it goes. The curveball and the slider were not as pristine as we normally see. They weren't the incredible down and away slider or the really over the plate constantly curveball that we see to lefties. All right, fine. Also, why are you throwing that sinker to lefties? Don't do that. Like, I don't understand why you would do that. Don't do that. Just start off Colt Keith. Why would you do that? Andrew Painter. No, I really don't. I'm not scared of Sean Burke. People are going to say it's regression. Fine, there might be some from what it was before, but Sean Burke is, yeah, he should be fine. I wouldn't freak out about it. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks for Andrew Painter. Very disappointing here, of course. You have a situation where Painter needs to be precise. He needs to be a painter. And I think he did that with his slider and his sweeper, not so much with his changeup. And sure, he's throwing 4-seamers more than any pitch, which, of course, you know I don't like. But it's also because the slider was a 31% strike rate, and he needs something else here. I would prefer it being 25% with his cut action. And here's the weird part, though. Only 2 whiffs total on all of his secondaries. And looking at these sweepers and the sliders that he's throwing to righties, I don't understand why they aren't whiffing. I truly do not. It just doesn't make any sense to me. He located some of these beautifully. And sure, there's one that was just a really stupid swing by Culpepper. Okay. And one that was a strikeout down and away on a swing, but it would have been strike 3. But there are so many absurdly competitive ones that they just spat on. And that's either 2 things traditionally. It's really not movement. I don't think movement is an issue at all here for Painter. Like, stuff on these 2 pitches, good enough to get whiffs there. So it's either bad sequencing, or there's something that he's tipping here, showcasing that, yes, this is what he's going to be throwing. This is out of the hand, a breaking ball that's going away. It could also have been that he didn't have anything to lane inside against right-handers, so there's no sinker going inside to them to keep them from just eyeing that pitch away. I don't know. But long story short is, Andrew Painter, yeah, this was you trying your best here, and no. So I'm not interested as he hosts the Cardinals next. Blade Tidwell, if you remember last game, I said he got the Astros and he got so fortunate to face the Astros as the best pitch he has is a sweeper to right-handers. He got a ton of right-handers and he had success. Well, against Rocky Road, you think it's Oracle Park. Rocky Road, this is going to be great. Yeah, few right-handers, like at all. I think he got one batter of nine in that lineup as a right-hander. Everything else was lefty. He did poorly. 4.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I think it's really that simple with Blake Tidwell. And I'm not going to be interested in him until I see a proper approach that has some verticality to it. Like nothing has proper depth to it, save for this curveball he threw twice for balls in play and 2 outs. I'm really happy you got those 2 outs against lefties. Hey, 82, 83, maybe throw that more. I don't know. Anyway, Blake Tidwell to me is not interesting until I really see a good left-handed approach, or I know he's going to get a super right-handed lineup. Patrick Sandoval, 4 innings, 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He had a changeup that looked good and nothing else, really. I mean, the four-seamers sometimes surprise guys, but yep, he's just too hittable. I can't say anything really more. He's just too hittable. There's Gabriel Hughes, 4 innings, 7 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. I like that one game that Gabriel Hughes had, and let's just forget about it now. One last one is Edward Cabrera. 3.2 innings of 7 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. He returned from the IL. Very exciting. But the issue here with Edward Cabrera is that strikes are everything, and he had a terrible 4th inning, and boy, he could not find the plate. I mean, he had like a 4-pitch walk, a 5-pitch walk, and another one after. It was just, watching this one was frustrating. If he can't throw for strikes, then Edward Cabrera isn't very good. He was fine for the first 3, but not even exceptional during those either. It should be better. He's going into Seattle. He's also near 80 pitches, so Edward Cabrera is still not a bad play. And I want to believe that he will find more strikes. It was a still ill. His velocity is fine. But yeah, he just did not have it at all. And that's unfortunate. But yeah, I'm going to put him as a questionable start. All right, that is it. Remember, you can get 20% off PL Pro yearly with promo code LIVEDASHBOARD. It is the biggest discount we have given for a long time. And I've also reopened PitcherList lifetime subscriptions. So go to pitcherlist.com/lifetime if you would like to support us for the long haul. As you've seen, I opened this up about 3 years ago, and those who purchased Lifetime then are just profiting from it now, and we are not going away. So if you want to support what we do for the future and make sure that we are able to make all the cool things that we are doing, please consider supporting us with a Lifetime subscription. But you can get 20% off PL Pro yearly specifically with promo code LIVEDASHBOARD. Now, enjoy the baseball dashboard, guys. It is something else. It is officially going live tomorrow morning. I cannot wait. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.